probably in 3 years been trying to get Pastor Brandt to come. He is, I guess, retired. As Billy Graham said, retirement is not in God's vocabulary. But he has transitioned to different ministries. The one that some may be familiar with, he was the founding pastor at Abiding Savior Lutheran in Sioux Falls. He also, throughout his ministry, had a radio program that spread throughout the state of South Dakota. And so 3 years ago, the elders had the idea of doing a leadership training and leadership summit. God chose the date was going to be the Friday before Palm Sunday or Saturday. COVID struck a month before. And so we have tried to have him come, and God really set the date for this past Saturday. Mm-hmm. And a part of his request and desire of ministering, not just to the men, but to our church body. And so we are grateful that he was available. And Pastor Brandt, the rest of the time is yours. Mm-hmm. As the man I interned under said, preach until you're done, which could always be dangerous.
Yeah, that is a really dangerous statement. Good morning. It's a real joy today to be able to worship with you. We've known a little bit about your congregation for a number of reasons. One is because of a good friend that went to Sunshine Academy, Jim Hunt. And Jim Hunt has really spoke lovingly and encouragingly about this congregation. And then we've also gotten the chance to meet some of you at some other events in the state of South Dakota. It's really great when across our state we can have times of gathering around the Word of God, coming from many different areas, and then enjoying each other's fellowship and hearing each other's Jesus stories, hearing what God is doing, hearing what needs we can pray for, what burdens we can shoulder together. And a good friend of mine, whom I believe many of you know, Dale Barcher, he always makes this statement, we're stronger together. And I really believe that as a Christian. I had the joy of being the first pastor at Abiding Savior Free Lutheran in Sioux Falls. When we started that church, some of the people didn't want us to put the word Lutheran in there because, sadly, the mainline Lutheran church has just departed from the Word of God. Just breaks my heart to see that and say that, but it's a fact. And I've often thought, you know, poor Martin Luther, if he ever came back, he'd be hard-pressed to go to a Lutheran church. And yet, there is a good work of God that's taking place through many Lutheran fellowships. And I just ask you to pray for them, that they might be able to stand true to God's Word, that they might call men and women, boys and girls, to salvation in Christ alone, and that they would hold to the Word of God alone, and that they would do all of this by faith alone. Those three hallmarks of our faith. I'd also like to thank Pastor Jim for being persistent. I really was looking forward to coming for that leadership training, and then as it changed a little bit and we did some work and came together for working with men, oh, what a joy that was for me yesterday, and I hope for some of them that it was also good. I was really encouraged by some young men that came from Sunshine. It was really good to see them here as well. We can't start any too early in helping young men have a heart for Jesus, a heart after God's own heart. And that's what I'm going to be focusing on today in regards to our message, a congregation. Can you think of just a moment right now of God's greatness? He's viewing us right now. Around the world, God is aware of everything that's taking place. Sometimes it's good for me just to stop and to think of the amazing greatness of God, far greater than I can ever comprehend. I think of the night I was saved. Of all the people that were saved at that time back in 1965, God knew that I was saved that night, knew me by name. That's an amazing and wonderful truth. This morning, as we're gathered here, as other fellowships are gathered around the globe, God is aware of every one of them, sees us. loves us, cares about us, sometimes aches for us, sometimes weeps over our waywardness or our lostness. But God, our great God, our God who is good and kind, our God who is holy and just, our God who is merciful, our God is viewing us this morning. He's looking at me. He wants me to be what He has called me to be. He wants me to be Michael, the saved version of Michael. One of the best things my dad ever did for me, I was sharing this with Pastor Jim, I think, that I was going to my first congregation after I was ordained. We were in a Ryder rental truck. They were yellow at that time. They had governors on them. You couldn't drive them over 45 miles an hour. Uphill, they went 45 miles an hour. Downhill, they went 45 miles an hour. We were going from Minneapolis to Seattle, Washington. My first home mission plant was just north of Seattle, Washington. My dad took time off from the church he was serving. He rode with me. I did the driving. He did the preaching in the cab. I got a whole nother year of seminary in that cab as we drove out to Seattle. But I'll share with you two great things that God brought through my dad on that trip. There are many others, but I'll share two. The first one was this. Dad said, "Michael, you're not Billy Graham. Be Michael." God only made one Billy Graham, and you're not him. That was a freeing truth for me. I was saved. I was studied up, I was prayed up, I was excited. And then to hear my dad, I believe by the voice of God, helped me to realize I could be me. I could be me. That's for you too. The other good thing my dad said was one day before we went to prayer, he said, "I hope in every church you serve you have one ornery woman." Sounds strange, doesn't it? And then I said, "Dad, why would you pray something like that?" And he said, "Because that's the one that will keep you on your knees." Yeah, I had them in every church. I probably could find one here too. Those were good insights for me that helped me pursue God more, to be a pastor that was, by the grace of God, seeking to be after the heart of God. And I pray this morning that as we get into our text, that the same would be true for you. Now just a really brief word about what I do. And so many people preface it by saying, when Pastor Brent retired, and I'm thinking, when did that happen? I'm now working with pastors and missionaries that are facing struggles in life, and it's kind of mushroomed out to a number of other things, and we're glad for that. We had a guest house out in the hills. After my folks died, I took the inheritance that I received and built a beautiful guest house, two-sided guest house. We had 8 bedrooms and 7 bathrooms. We could really take care of a lot of pastors and missionaries free of charge, and then if they wanted to visit about concerns or challenges, both positive and negative during that time, we were there for them. But what happened is we ended up going a lot on the road. We went to their sites because we found that to be most beneficial. Then it got a little too hard to do both. So after 10 years of doing that, now our ministry is mainly on the road, and we focus on smaller congregations, smaller settings where they maybe don't have a lot of resources, because we try to do what we do only covering our expenses, have a number of people that pray for us in a number of different areas. As you heard, we were on the radio. We were on 9 radio stations at one time when I was up in northern Minnesota, and then here in South Dakota at one time we were on 4 different radio stations, and so got the chance to minister to a lot of people, and they've stood with us so that we could offer our services free of charge to especially pastors and missionaries who don't have resources to have someone come alongside of them. We'd appreciate you to pray for us. Our ministry is simply called Shepherding. Shepherding the Shepherds is the longer version, the legal version, but we refer to it as shepherding. And if you would pray for us, we'd be so appreciative of that. With that, I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Acts. Is there anything on the screen yet? Will I bring it on the screen if I do that? There we go. Congregations after God's own heart. If you would take your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2. We're going to read this portion out of reverence for God and His Word. Let's stand together as we hear it. Acts chapter 2, beginning there with verse 42, in Christ's name. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Heavenly Father, this is your word. Your word is truth. We pray that you would sanctify us in this truth. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Congregations after God's own heart. It really is a blessing to recognize the ways in which God established His church. I just love this portion in the book of Acts when the believed were coming together and worshiping God. I loved it today as I came out here. I came out here a little bit early today, and I just loved seeing you coming into the house of God. It was kind of interesting to see some of you greeting each other, hugging each other, embracing each other. I think I saw one family that's probably the sound guy back there is the grandpa, because all the kids, every one of the kids hugged him. So I'm thinking, yeah, they must be grandchildren. They were hugging each other. Good to see a family coming into the house of God. And then as some were sharing about the most recent one that passed away, there was really a sense of sadness and yet mixed with joy. The joy of knowing that this precious soul was at peace with God, taking their first breath in heaven the moment they died. And yet, you'll miss them. It was wonderful as one of the praise team was expressing that, looking out into the audience, seeing that one who's smiling and being encouraged by that. You know, I was thinking just the opposite for me. When I'm preaching and someone's smiling, I'm thinking, what did I just say wrong? Or what haven't I taken care of in my attire that they're smiling at me? Yeah. But I loved that when she said that was encouraging to her as she ministered. Isn't that what the family of God is meant to be? And yet today, I get into a lot of churches. This last year, I've been in 16 different denominations. Not churches. I've been 16 different denominations. We were driving down the road, my wife Colleen and I, just last week as we were traveling, and I said, honey, I'm going to name all the denominations. You count them. She's from North Dakota, so she had to take off her shoes as well. And as we were driving down the road, we came to her, I said, how many did that end up being? And she said, 16, Michael, 16. And sadly, I can say this to you. In all 16 of them, there is a decline. Oh, the decline in numbers isn't what I'm worried about. There's a decline in spirit, a decline in faithfulness to come, a decline in getting involved. There's more spectators than there are participants in the church today. Now, I'm just limiting all 16 of those denominations, by the way, are evangelical. Not one of them is a mainline, more liberal, or like they like to refer to it, progressive They've progressed away from the Scripture. That's not progression. These were all evangelical churches that I work with. And decline in spirit, decline in commitment. Maybe you, as an individual member of this congregation, because this is the body of Christ, the reason I don't use church in this is because so often when we think of church, don't we think of right away a building? I like the word congregation. You tend to think more about family when you hear the word congregation. You're a family, the family of God. And you know, when one of you is missing, it isn't the same. There can be real valid reasons to miss. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the missing when there's a decline in your life, when there's something that isn't after the heart of God. It used to be for me when I was first serving, and people would tell me, "Pastor, we're going to be gone." People used to actually tell me when they were going to be gone. In the early days of my ministry, how I appreciated that. Then I didn't have to wonder. And during the summer when our people would go on vacation, we had a little bag ministry. We had put tapes together of messages, cassette tapes clear back then. Some of you kids don't even know what a cassette recorder is, let alone an 8-track, huh? We used to put a cassette in there of a couple of messages. We used to put in there some sheets of songs, some song sheets that we had reproduced illegally. I guess we didn't know it at that time. We were just so glad to have a copy machine. We just copied everything. We didn't know what copyright. We thought it was we had the right to copy. Yeah, we had it backwards. And people would tell me they're going on vacation. They'd grab a bag and they would say, "We're worshiping with you." Oh, not today. Maybe at best, maybe a television program in a motel. We really need to have congregations. We need people like you that are allowing the Holy Spirit to examine you. And only for this purpose, that you would have a heart after God. That you'd have a heart like God's heart. He's all for you. And oh, by the grace of God, that we might be all for Him. Does that make sense to you today? Isn't that a valid desire that we should have and that God would have for us today? I believe it is. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 28. I didn't know if the print was big enough for all of you, but we'll read it. "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." This is specifically for pastors and elders here at the church. God has wanted them to have a concern for you. I have a doctor. I like to refer to this portion as your spiritual doctor. I have a doctor that's a believer. I just love the guy. His name is Glenn Ritter. He offers his services. If a young girl finds herself with child and not married, and she's thankfully going to let that child live. Many don't, but she's going to let that child live. He'll care for her. That's the kind of doctor he is. He just doesn't charge, just cares for her. I'm glad to have him as my doctor. When I come in to see him for my yearly physical, he's honest with me. I haven't always liked that about him, but he is honest with me. This last year, he found a way to be honest with me without hurting my feelings so much. He said, "You know, Michael, you're the perfect weight this year." He said, "But you're a little short." Well, your pastors care about you that way. Pastor Jason, Pastor Derek, Pastor Jim, they care about you. God's given them this task. Look at it again. "Keep watch over yourself and all the flock." So they're to keep watch over themselves by the grace of God, but also all the flock. Did you see the word all? That means you. You're not a one of us is left out of this equation. All the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. It was God who called them for that purpose. And your elders, too, as you appoint elders here in the church, those elders need to stop and reflect on the fact if there's anyone who should care for the flock, when the flock is hurting, when the flock is weeping, when the flock is rejoicing, when the flock is growing, when the flock is straying, if there's anyone who should care, it should be those elders. Be on their toes spiritually. Be men after God's own heart, caring for the flock. Be shepherds of the church, which he bought with his own blood. Well, then look at this very first thing. Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47, has this very truth in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Notice what's being focused on here. There is the focus that comes, and I've got it pointing in the right direction, Jim, but it isn't moving. So somebody's going to help me back there. Maybe my battery went dead. Okay, thank you. They focused on the word, fellowship, and communion. Notice they didn't put prayer. I believe communion and prayer are synonymous. When I'm praying, I'm communing with God and He with me. That two-way communion. The breaking of bread, some Bible commentators would say, well, maybe this is kind of like the potluck version. My mom didn't like the word luck, so she always made me say pot blessing. I think it might refer to communion. That's also another understanding. But notice the word devoted. They devoted themselves. What is devotion? Devotion is when it is a heartfelt commitment. I'm devoted to my wife. I'm devoted to my wife on the basis of Scripture. I'm devoted to her because I believe God entrusted her into my care. I'm devoted to her realizing that God is the one that's observing me, so I'm devoted. I think of that when I look at this in regards to being devoted in the very family of God. How is your devotion to community church, to the family of God, to the congregation here? Young and old alike, devoted. I look forward to what I will hear from Derek in regards to tonight's gathering. I hope you young people will be at tonight's gathering, the youth gathering. Joshua chapter 9, I heard him say. He said there's going to be some things to eat. Was that right? There's going to be some fun that they're going to have together, some prayer together. Oh, to have young people who are devoted to that time. That's time set aside. I heard Derek say every Sunday that this wasn't a new thing. This wasn't a once and again thing. This was a regular thing, the gathering. I'm devoted to that time. I'm devoted to worship. It's my priority. That's the early church. That shows us what a congregation looks like in one way in regards to having a heart, being after God's own heart, devoted. How about the women's fellowships that you have here? The Bible studies, the men's Bible studies. By the way, my new favorite name is in the bulletin today. I got to look at it one more time. Schwarzendruber. That's my new favorite name. He's one of the guys, I think he's teaching Revelation, is that not right? And brother, you told me yesterday, if you want to be in an adult Bible study, you've got four chances every Sunday morning here. Why wouldn't you be devoted to that? These that have prepared, have been prayed up, have been studied up with this Bible study for adults as well as for young people. Why wouldn't you be devoted to that? Devoted to the Word of God. That's a church after God's own heart. Devoted to fellowship. And fellowship, I'll just call it like I did the first time at Abiding Savior over the radio. I said, fellowship, coffee and cookies is the manure of fellowship. I should have said fertilizer, but manure slipped in there. And we had a lot of calls to the church after that was broadcast out on the radio. But it is. I don't care about how many cookies. And there are some, if you're first in line, you might even get a donut today. But the coffee or water, and then sit around that table, and you can talk a little bit about everyday things, but I believe God would rather have us talk about personal things like, how are you doing? What's new? What can I pray for in your life? Sharing honestly with one another, I have this heartache. I have a terrible heartache today. I need to be honest with you. One of my dearest pastor friends, a young pastor friend of mine, is up in Fargo, at a hospital in Fargo right now. And last night I received a message from his wife. It just does not look good. This COVID has just taken the best of him. He's on a ventilator. He's on a feeding tube. He's got a lot of fluid around his lungs, pressing in on his lungs. They've been trying to drain that off. Oh, he's going to be a happy camper when he sees Jesus. But I hope this isn't the time. I hope he gets some more time. I've seen some others come back. But when I share that with you, then when you realize, you look at me and you say, you know, that's on pastor's heart. I'm devoted to the word, but I'm also devoted to fellowship, and I'm going to be praying for pastor's heart, not only this friend of his by the name of Paul, but I'm going to be praying for Pastor Mike too. That's what fellowship is all about. Fellows in the same ship. That's what we are. Men and women in the same ship of faith. Fellowship. There might be some of you that have to get out a door right away. We're never going to judge you for that. Never. But don't make it all the time. Okay? I need you and you need me. Fellowship. To the breaking of bread. Whether it's a pot blessing or communion, we break bread in Jesus' name. And prayer, communion and prayer. We pray together. We pray. We uphold one another. Whether it's a brief prayer, whether it's a silent prayer, whether it's a long prayer, whether it's a group praying or just two praying, in Jesus' name, we pray. We believe in it. We hold to it. Last night I sent out a message to 60 pastors. By the way, Clint, that's why I wasn't wasting your ammunition out there shooting yesterday afternoon. I had some other tasks I needed to do. But you can give me all the ammo I would have shot. I'd appreciate that a lot. I got an AR-15. I got a 7 mag. I got 3 or 4 shotguns that can actually kill pheasants, not like good oaks. So I'll take them. But I sent out 60 pastors last night. And I sent out a little bit about Nehemiah. Remember Nehemiah going back to build up the walls back there in Jerusalem that had been torn down? Then he was going to talk to the king to get some time off. He was in a foreign, ungodly country. And you know what the first thing he did was? Prayed. Before he went and talked to the king, he prayed. It's the best thing you can do before anything you do. Whether it's meal time, whether it's work time, at the beginning of the day, it's the best way you can start your day is with communion between you and your God. Jesus, in Jesus' name, moved by the Holy Spirit, pray, pray, pray. It's the best thing you can teach your kids to do. Oh, I love to listen to my grandchildren pray. I love it when they pray. Last night I missed a gathering of my family. One of my grandsons wrote to me, he's up at college at SDSU. He wrote back to me, he said, "We didn't miss you, Grandpa." That was his way of saying he really did miss me. I looked at some video that they sent me of a birthday party that they were all gathered around yesterday. And then I heard one of my daughters say, "Would you lead us in prayer?" She didn't say it to her husband. She said it to one of her children. And they prayed for little Lola, who turned 7 yesterday. They prayed for her. And she could, you could just see it in her face how blessed she was. We pray. It's part of the fellowship of God. Well, then we move on to this. We also see that God desires us, everyone, to be filled. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, experiencing the wonders of God. Who? Well, look at the word that's emphasized there on the screen. The one in red. Everyone. Everyone was filled. We had a great exercise at our church. I shared a little bit about it. It's called God Sightings. I'll never forget one man in the church, kind of an interesting guy. He came from a denomination where the message of salvation was really muddled with a bunch of works. Bunch of works was really the way the church that he had been attending really taught how you get saved. So it's just hopeless. You just raise a bunch of good Pharisees is what you do in that setting when you teach just works, works, works. But his wife started coming to our church, and he was concerned for her. They both had gone to different churches all their marriage. He was concerned that she was going to a cult when she came to our church. So he decided to come, see what his wife was hearing about, why she was so happy, why she was so excited about going to church. And then on that particular Sunday when he came, I had mentioned I would be speaking up in Webster, South Dakota. I said, I'm going to drive back and forth every day. I did a lot of evangelistic services at that time and go back and forth every day. And it would be so great if one of you would be willing to ride along with me and do the driving. And that way, next day, I can just be having a little bit more strength and vigor. And so if one of you retired guys or older guys would like to do that, or more of you, just come along. I'm going to be going up Sunday night through Thursday night, every day. And so he came to me after the service. I really didn't know him that well, and he said, I'll go with you. So he drove up there, and I got a good chance to know Bob. And as we were driving along, and I could hear quite a bit in his language that Jesus wasn't really abiding in his heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the book of Matthew says, the mouth speaks. And so kind of got a good idea of where his heart was. And at that first night service, and I gave an altar call, an invitation to come and to receive Christ or be renewed in Christ, here Bob came, knelt down. I got to be honest with you. I thought maybe he was doing it just to encourage me. And then when I knelt down, it was the real McCoy. He surrendered his heart to Christ right there that night. Awe. My heart was filled with awe and wonder at what God did that night. Are you filled with awe at what God is doing in your life? Or could it possibly be that you have limited what God? You see, God always does wonders. God always does, whatever God does. Take, for instance, marriage. It's a miracle. Marriage is a miracle. Who do you know that can take two and make them one? That's what marriage is. Two become one. That's a miracle. The awe and wonder of marriage. God does awe and wonders all the time, but oftentimes we limit Him. We resist Him. We prevent Him from doing what He wants to do. That little word of witness, that man that came with me, oh, the awe and wonder that God used that moment to cause his heart to be set free. His chains of good works were cast aside, and he came to know the work of God on his behalf, the awe and wonder of God saving him. Well, then a church after God's own heart also needs this. Consider it. All the believers were together and had everything in common, oneness in practice. That prayer time that you had, when I was younger and before I was saved, and my dad would pray, I would think, will he ever stop? My dad's in glory now, my mom too. I would give anything to have my dad with me today. I'd give anything to sit my spirit communing with his spirit in prayer. I'd give anything for one of those long, never-ending prayers. I'd give anything for that. Before I was saved, I wasn't so. And even at times in my life when I've been not what God has wanted me to be, I've found that times of prayer have been easy to skip. Sad to say. Kind of a good indication that I'm not where God wants me to be when prayer isn't the first thing that comes to mind. I remember once when my grandma Letty, Aletta Janetta Upstadal Larson, that's quite a handle. Remember once when I was at the house there and she was praying. Whenever we were at the farm, we all prayed before we left. The kids had to pray too. And so as they were going around my grandma, then it was me. I was the last one. Grandma prayed around the world a couple of times. And then it was me, and I was young and stupid. And I said, ditto, ditto to everything Grandma said, amen. I'll not forget the spanking I received when we got home that night. Yeah. I got the rod of understanding to the seed of learning at that moment in my life. But think about it just for a moment. Having all things together in common, everything in common. Do you bear each other's things? Do you give to one another? Is there someone in the community of Miller that you know? In Amory, Wisconsin, when I had the joy of planting a church there, there was a young mother that was coming to our church. She didn't have a husband. She had three children. And then sadly, there was an electrical fire at her house. I remember that night. I remember hearing the sirens blaring. I didn't even check to see what might be the case. I did know it was for a fire. Then I heard during that week that the local bar, we had many bars in that town, but one of the local bars right away took up an offering for her. And they were receiving goods and they were receiving money and all kinds of things. And you know, God laid his hand of conviction on me and he said, Michael, why would a bar do what you should have done? She didn't even frequent that bar. There's a Miller, a town down here. By the way, I was really disappointed in Miller yesterday. Did you know there was a rib fest down there, Pastor? I went down there and all I wanted to do was buy some ribs. I wanted to buy a few ribs and then go back to Plint's Palace and eat them. And none of them would sell me any ribs. They said I had to go down to the end and then they give you a little bitty paper boat like that. And you go around and get one rib at each place, and I guess you're supposed to tell somebody he's the loser. Or a bunch of them. And so I said, can I just buy like a half a side of ribs or something here? And they said, nope, you got to do it this way. What a revolting development that was down there. So I ended up, but I liked that Rancher's Cafe. I went out there and I got to be with the pastor's daughter out to the Rancher's Cafe there. She was working, but you didn't serve me. You should have. I gave a great tip. You should have served me. Yeah. Everything in common. You care about Miller? Care about St. Lawrence? You hear of a need? Well, wouldn't it be great, church after God's own heart, congregation after God's own heart, if the first show up, and maybe you already are, and that's wonderful. If you are, praise God. If you be the first to respond. with love and care, have everything in common, meet the need that is set before you. And how about this truth? Another wonderful realization. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone that had a need. I did something again here today, oneness of concern. I went and looked at all the missionaries you're supporting. I can't commend you enough for that. How wonderful that is that you have a vision that's beyond yourself, a vision of the world. And those missionaries have a need. They have a need for you to pray for them. They have a need for you to give to them. They have a need for you to keep in touch with them. I have one single gal that runs an orphanage down in Brazil. My father had led her to Christ years and years ago, and she believes with all her heart that God has called her to a life of singleness. And she takes care of that orphanage down in Brazil. And I write an encouraging word to her every week. And she said, "You'll never know, Pastor Brandt, how much I need, how much I wait to hear that word every week." You know what I need to do is need to give up my time, my possessions. Sometimes my time is my most sacred possession. I guard my time. Sometimes I need to let go of the time and give of myself. Congregations do that. I pray that you would do that as well, day by day. And then this, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I did appreciate Pastor Jim as he prayed and made the way of salvation so clear. I pray that always we as pastors and Christians want to see people saved, that we gather together for that very purpose of praising God, of bringing the truth of God to bear in such a way that it would cause us to be in favor with God and man. No, that was said of Jesus. Remember when Jesus was in the temple and he stayed and talked to the teachers and his mom and dad had gone home, and then they kind of panicked and saw he wasn't there, and then they said, "Where in the world are you?" And he said, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" And then when he went back home, it says that he grew in favor with God, his Father, and with man. I pray that for you as a congregation, that you would enjoy that favor of God, growing in favor with God, that you would enjoy praising God. And then I pray that you would be longing for souls to be saved, God adding to that number. Think of it. How about one of that first time when Peter preached and 3,000 souls came to peace with God? I have a really good friend. Some of you know him. His name is Alan Green. He was the originator of Lifelight, great concert, Christian concert ministry down by Sioux Falls. Then God has transitioned him into work with the Palau organization, Andrew Palau's Evangelistic Association. Andrew Palau has now passed away, but Alan has been in Pakistan for the last couple of weeks, and he's been sending me messages about the hundreds and hundreds of people in Pakistan that are coming to Christ, and the number of spiritual leaders that they're able to invest in that are going to follow up with these that were formerly Muslim and some Hindus that are coming to Christ. Oh, what a joy to hear that news. A church, a congregation after God's own heart, longs for people to be saved. Do you have evangelistic services? Do you have teams of witness? Do you encourage and ground people in how to share their faith? That's all a part of bringing people to Christ. Your pastor, Your pastors would love to see that as a very heart expression together. By the way, I was saved at evangelistic meetings 15 nights in a row, but I only went to one. Went to the last one. Was made to go to the last one. Had no choice. Told people I had a drug problem. I was drugged to church. And that night I got saved. I pray that we as congregations who desire to have a heart after God would see how He longs to see people saved. For Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, didn't He? Wasn't that His main mission? Seek and to save the lost. God prays, public witness, people were saved. This last truth I'd like to close with. Word-centered checkups are vital for a congregation's health. Father in heaven, may this word-centered message today be used of You. Jesus, You are the great physician. You are the Lord of the church. May You use this for the very purpose of us having a heart after You. In Thy name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. Let's take our hymnals and turn them to number 277, The Church's One Foundation. Are we going to have a benediction, Pastor Jason, when you come up and pray for us after we sing? All right, we're going to stand together and sing The Church's One Foundation, 277. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the Word. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought her, and for her life He died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses, and every grace endued. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth hath union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. O happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with Thee.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Mike, for being here. I'm sure that he'll be in the foyer if you'd like to visit with him, and Let's be thinking about what he shared this morning. We'll close with the words of Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. It says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead of our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."